Welcome to Bullships, where we use pop culture to initiate conversations, call out the myths portrayed in entertainment, and empower listeners with information to improve relationships. We're your hosts, Kelly and Stephanie. Hello, and welcome to episode 45, Happily Ever Home Alone.
Classic.
Holiday movie. One of your faves?
Oh, definitely one of my faves. Yeah. There was a little bit of a argument on The Ringer, you know, my other fave podcast besides this one. They were saying that Bill Simmons was saying it wasn't a Christmas movie, and I'm like, how dare you?
Yeah.
This is absolutely a Christmas movie.
If Die Hard is a Christmas movie, this is definitely a Christmas movie.
Good point. So we had to do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're on, what's today, the 22nd?
Yeah.
We only got a couple more days till, Christmas.
Yeah.
And so this is the perfect movie
we thought
to kind of deep dive into.
Exactly. And I think I made you watch my favorite holiday movie last year.
Oh, Love Actually.
Love Actually. And so now we get to watch your favorite. This is, though, an ultimate, like, classic. And hopefully everyone who's listening to this has watched this movie. If you haven't, you can watch it for free on Disney Plus.
That's right.
Which is also another great
find.
Good
plug on that. Yep.
Good plug. Not paid. Wish we were. But it literally is your childhood in a streaming service. Like every movie
true.
I saw, I was like, I want to watch this.
For
so,
sure.
So it's on there. And then you can also like buy it on like Amazon Prime or something. Yeah, Hulu. Or not Hulu, but like Amazon Prime and stuff. You can rent it for like $3.99.
It has to be. This has to be easily available.
Yes.
So this movie came out in 1990.
Holy
which
moly.
Puts, and he was, I think, was he 8 or 9 in this movie?
He was 8.
Yeah. 8. Okay. So he is almost the exact age that I was when this movie came out.
Yeah.
Like this, that's why I think I loved it so much, because it was basically me that was left home alone for holidays.
Yes.
Although my house was not that big.
Yeah.
That was the only, the slight difference, I guess.
They, fun random fact about that, but so he says his address like a couple of times in the movie, and so I like Googled it because that's what you do now.
Oh, so
and
smart.
It's actually the house, and you can go and visit it. Obviously, somebody lives there, but like I think there's like a Redfin post on it.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and it's like the actual house,
oh
and you can
God.
See photos inside. Apparently, it's like gone through renovations, but they won't change like the front of it.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like a tourist stop where people can like stop and take photos, and luckily the people who live there like haven't like covered it up or something because of all the people that do come, but it's funny. And I think on Zillow the posting for this house is like funny, and so at first I thought it was a joke, but then I'm like, oh no, it's the actual house.
I love it.
So I know,
keeping it alive.
I know,
that house is incredible.
I know, it's so pretty.
Yeah, it's
so
in
pretty.
Like the Chicago area, right?
It is. Yeah, it's in like the suburbs of Chicago. If you listen to the address and Google it, it's really on there, and it's really cool.
I'm about to do that.
I know. The random things I do. I'm like, oh, I wonder who lives in this address.
I know. I love it. Brilliant.
Yeah, so much to talk about in this movie. You know, there's family and, you know, people breaking into people's houses, but one of the topics that we wanted to deep dive is, in the beginning, you know, we're introduced to
Kevin. The McAllisters.
The McAllisters.
I told you I remembered every single line
of
this movie,
I know.
Right?
It's so great. Kevin. I was like, Macaulay Culkin? I don't know.
Which, gosh, he was a cute kid.
I know. He was such a pretty
strange-looking adult, but
so
cute kid.
We're introduced to him, and you just see how his family, like, picks on him. His cousins, his siblings, aunts and uncles. And I think in the beginning, he's just asking random questions, like, hey, where's my cheese pizza? Or they ask him to, like, pack a bag, and he's like, I don't know how to pack a bag. And then, like, everyone will, like, you know, be so mean to him because he doesn't know how to pack a bag. And then the other thing that they say constantly is like, well, mom's going to do it for you. Or like this whole idea that he's helpless. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you watch all of this and then it all culminates. I was like, I'm going to say the word, but I can't say it. Buzz saying, like, you know, oh, we already ate your cheese pizza, and if you want some, like, I'm gonna throw it back up, so, you know, get ready, you know. And then Kevin just, like, rushes him, and then, like, that's where, like, milk gets spilled in soda and on the tickets, and everyone gets so mad at him. But what stood out to me the most was just the how mean they were to him and how it built up. And that's why that happened. Not because he's this, like, mean little kid that just wants to, like, ruin everyone's day, but just, like, that his, you know, he was voicing needs constantly and no one was paying attention to him. And so, you know, wanted to kind of shed light on that a bit, because I feel like that's something that happens with kiddos,
especially when there's such a like an age discrepancy too. I mean, some of the kids were, they look like they were, like, maybe in high school or a lot older, all the way down to Kevin, who's, you know, 8 or 9 years old. And so absolutely, he has to, like, fight for this attention. He has to he's dismissed quite a bit, but not only is he dismissed, and then he's told he's a baby, basically, because he can't do anything for himself. And so you think about all the messages that he's trying to, like, process into his little brain, and he's like, what the hell's going on here?
Absolutely. You know? Another thing I think he does a really good example of that does happen with kids too is how they try to connect the dots, you know? So for example, there's a part in the movie where, you know, one of his cousins tells him, like, oh, hey, you're going to be sharing a bed with your cousin. If he drinks anything, he's going to wet the bed. And so then he just takes that info and then, like, starts regurgitating it to everyone else. Like, hey, Buzz, can I actually sleep with you? Because this kid is going to do this. And so this idea of, like, what's getting told to them is getting, like, imprinted, or, like, they are taking it in. And so even though, you know, these little, like, digs, you know, may seem, you know, harmless in the grand scheme of things, you know, I sometimes wonder how much of that, you know, he's actually taken in.
We know this. We know that this happens. And so I know we have a different takeaway. So this will be, like, a little side takeaway. So just think about this, you guys. If you were a kid and people said something to you, and this could be something silly, like, if you look at the sun, you'll go blind, and so you never looked at the sun because you never did it, and, like, now you're afraid of the sun or something like that. Like, we all have these little things that people have said to us over the years that do become part of our narrative. Therefore, we, like, kind of operate from that, you know? So as a side takeaway, think about what maybe some of those things are, and, like, either how ridiculous those are, or do you still subscribe to them?
Exactly. And the person who actually will point it out to me the most is my husband.
Like, I'll know him the most.
I'll say something, and it could be, like, you know, I think my mom said something about once about, like, not putting hot things in, like, the fridge. And so, like, I live by this. And, like, if this, you know, and, you know, Ryan, my husband, will just be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, that it's, like, this weird thing. And I'm like, I swear, like, you know, so there's little things that, like you said, get told to you, and you just, like, you know, they stick with you, and then you live your whole life like this, and then you don't realize until someone points it out, like, what are you talking about? Like, that is not a thing.
I know. And he, and one of the things, you know, being told that, oh, mom's going to do it for you all the time, you wonder what kind of message that sends, you know, am I not capable? Now I'm insecure because I'm not capable. I mean, I know that's a little bit, like, of a reach, but I think that happens, especially with kids that are, I mean, we know that birth order is a thing. And so one of the, you know, typical qualities of a younger child is kind of that sense of helplessness. And it's not, that's not necessarily true. You know, you don't, I mean, you might have those feelings. That doesn't mean you have to, like, subscribe to it just because that was the message that you were sent as a little kid.
You know? And then going, I mean, going back to our point of also, you know, the importance of, no matter what age of a kiddo, but, you know, the importance of taking their opinions and feelings and thoughts, you know, into perspective and validating them and acknowledging them. And, you know, we were saying earlier of just, like, you know, if maybe somebody would have just validated, like, oh, I'm gonna help you pack your bag, or, you know, hey, let's make sure there is a cheese pizza for you. Like, all of this could have been avoided. Sure, there wouldn't be a movie, but... But all of this could have been avoided, and they could have had a great time in Paris.
Right. That's right. Even to the, like, literal point of being forgotten about on the way to the airport.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, I mean, very important points. You know, I think that sometimes, you know, kiddos are very much dismissed. And I think luckily, I think, you know, the information regarding, you know, especially young kiddos, like the birth to five world, there's so much information coming out in the importance of, like, validating the feelings and acknowledgement for, like, social, emotional development and all of that, that I think, you know, hopefully it's something that's, you know, being paid attention to a little bit more,
by parents. Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that, and to, like, the validation of emotions for a kid 0 to 5 is so important, but that doesn't mean that it's almost like you, like, helicopter them.
Yeah.
Or that you, you know, you kind of, what's it, like, you placate them. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what that means. It just means acknowledging whatever it is that they're going through. Oh, mm-hmm. You're probably frustrated right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard being frustrated, yep. isn't it? So it's giving them the permission to experience whatever emotion mm-hmm. they have and feeling okay about experiencing yep. it and not really trying to fix it,
exactly.
I guess, as they're grown up yep. in their life. It's just yep. letting them kind of go through that with your support.
Yes.
It is huge.
Yes.
It is so awesome if you can do that for your kiddo.
It is. And, you know, it teaches, you know, resiliency.
Totally.
It teaches, I can feel this feeling and not be so completely out of control because I know it's going to be okay and I have support
exactly.
and I'm not here on my own and all of that. But I mean, I also can understand the part of, you know, not as a parent because I'm not one, but as seeing somebody that you care about go through difficult feelings and, like, wanting to make it go away or wanting to make them, you know, feel happier. I'm like, I'm sure I can, you know, I can understand that pressure too. But also understanding that, you know, the more you let them experience, the more that they'll be able to handle that on their own, which is what we eventually want kiddos to do so they can be
totally.
A productive member of the society.
That's right.
So again, you know, the importance of validating, you know, Kevin's feelings in all of this, you know, is a big one.
Yeah. No, and also, you know, being able to, just being able to recognize kind of people's roles in the family as well and how that can really be a cohesive thing when everybody's kind of working together. But one of the things that we noticed too is kind of how bad mom felt after this whole thing happened. So
Absolutely.
We see her sitting on the plane
yeah.
and she's like, why do I have this feeling
yes.
that something isn't right?
Yeah.
Is it this? Is I mean, we've all experienced
yep.
that before.
Yep.
And then to realize you left your kid at home. Oh my God. What? I mean, and
yeah.
I, you know, I guess that might sound crazy to some people, but we saw kind of the chaos that ensued beforehand
yep.
of
yep.
all of, like, the cousins that
mm-hmm.
were there and kind of leaving, you know, this happenstance where the neighbor
yes.
kid is, like,
yes.
filling the spot of
yep.
Kevin. So, I mean, the thing about mom is that she beats herself up
yeah,
like crazy for
absolutely.
This mishap. And we
yeah.
saw, we got the perspective to see how it all went down.
Yep.
And it's, you know, she doesn't need to be doing that, but it does
mm-hmm.
kind of, I think
mm-hmm.
as moms, we can all relate to that in that sometimes we feel like I'm the worst mom on the planet because
yes.
of this thing that I did.
Yeah.
And so we're here to basically say, it's okay, mom.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, yes, you know, leaving your child seems like, you know, a really big situation, but also really, you know, going down to the basics of what kiddos need and really what it is, you know, your love, your support.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you know, boundaries from you, but if you're able to be there and consistent, you know, meeting their needs. And again, going back to what you said, that doesn't mean catering to them 100%,
mm-hmm.
but being able to meet, you know, their emotional needs or help them figure out how to, you know, get their needs met, that, you know, as long as they can count on you, you know, that's what kiddos need. And I think sometimes, especially in this world with social media and Pinterest and all of this stuff, it can put so much pressures on moms as to, like, what a good mom is and what a bad mom is.
Great point,
but if
yeah.
you have this basic of just being there and your kid can count on you, like, that's all they need. And sometimes you're going to mess up because you're human, and that's okay as long as you're meeting their need, like, 80% of the time, you know, 75% of the time, like, you're good, you know, that one, you know, rupture isn't going to ruin the relationship. And you and I like that they showed the part in the movie where, you know, she comes back, and again, I think that was only like the second time in the movie where someone like acknowledged his feelings, you know, about saying like, I am so sorry, and then he puts on that like, I'm mad at you face, but then it gets so happy and like runs to her,
because that's all he needed.
Just
some acknowledgement.
That we are so sorry that we left you, and
you know, and I'm just kind of thinking about it now, how hard that can be sometimes for parents to admit that. I mean, and this obviously this is like a big situation. Like if an apology didn't happen, like it's pretty messed up. But I think sometimes we do make mistakes as parents, and I'm of the opinion that it's okay to apologize for some of those things. Yes. You know, for example, I've been in many situations where with my kids, where maybe they, I don't know, maybe they said something, but I was already stressed out from maybe a long day at work or something like that, and I snap back at them with probably more anger than was accounted for. And by acknowledging that, I think is it just taking responsibility, like, hey, you know, I don't appreciate what you're doing right now, but I did kind of overreact in my response. So I, you know, my bad. I'm sorry about that. And I think that, you know, can kind of, that, you know, acknowledgement, there's a respect that comes from that, but it's also not, it kind of allows them to have a little bit of understanding of where it came from rather than kind of personalizing it on their own.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I do think that that is something that, again, hopefully is something that is shifting in our, you know, kind of, you know, taking care of kids in this world of, you know, this idea. Because I think, you know, the idea of parenting can sometimes be like, you know, I'm the one in charge. Everything I say goes, you know, I'm right, you're wrong.
Right.
Like, I know more. And so with that can come that difficulty of saying I'm sorry, because then what does that mean? Then everything else that I've believed in, of like being a parent, of being in charge and all of that, by saying sorry, like feeling like you give up a little bit of that power. But like you said, the importance of saying that and doing that, and kiddos being able to experience like, oh, adults can make mistakes too, and it's okay, which in turn means I can make mistakes and it's okay, versus like if you see this person that's perfect all the time, like you said, how do you internalize that? Going back to what we were saying about, you know, if people aren't talking to, you know, two kiddos directly about a certain situation, like they're going to connect the dots. Again, another example of that in the movie was when he is left alone. Kevin is left alone. And, he's talking to, you know, or he's calling out for them. And he's like, you know, Mom, Dad, where are you? And then goes out and sees that the cars are still there. So in his head, he's like, oh, they didn't go to the airport. So in his head, they disappeared. But again, you know, there's car services that he probably, you know, doesn't know about and all of that. But I liked how they showed him, like, connecting those dots, because that's what kids do.
That's exactly
like
what they do.
They take in the information that they see and what they know and connect the dots. And so unless somebody's talking to them about things directly,
that's right,
we don't know how they're going to connect those dots. And it can either be, you know, a harmful message that maybe they're taking in.
That's exactly right. That's such a, that just is such a great example of exactly how that works in a kid's brain. So being able to, you know, acknowledge things sometimes with your kids, I think is a good thing, because we got to remember too, kids will one day be adults. And I know that I went through, I think a lot, I hear it this commonly amongst people, is that there's a point in our lives when we realize our parents aren't perfect. And it's sometimes that's really hard for people to kind of accept. When if kids know early on that their parents aren't perfect, it kind of gives them, the kid, the permission to recover from failures, if you will, but also to kind of see their parent as a human being, you know, not like a superhuman, you know, because you will be a superhuman because you have a job and you put a roof over their head, and that's super, you give
that
them
is,
food.
That's
superhuman enough for the kids.
Yeah. And also a part of that, I mean, comes from, I mean, your role as parents is to, like, you know, understanding your kid, meeting their needs, like, that is huge. superhuman ability, yeah, because that feels good, and not, you know, not everyone can do that for them. But right, also, you know, also the switch that happens between, and now I'm going off on a tangent, but the switch that happens between, like, you doing everything for them versus, like, allowing them to also do mm-hmm. things. And I know that can sometimes be a hard switch for parents mm-hmm. of, like, doing everything for them and then, like, oh, you can problem solve on your own, or you can, you know, go grocery shopping, or...
It's painful, man.
I bet. I bet.
It's painful to watch
those things.
They're
just growing
up
so fast.
It does. It happens.
I know. So, you know, one of the big questions that came up when we were watching this is, why did we like this movie so much as a kid? Mm-hmm. So, in the spirit of the holidays and kind of, you know, usually that reminds us about traditions and all of this, and I know it's one of your favorite movies.
It
why?
Is.
Why did you love this movie so much?
I think because at the time, like, it was me, so yeah. I related to that. I also had a big family, and so I was fun seeing kind of, like,
yes.
the chaos of everybody. I think there was a fascination piece of all these people get to go to Paris. Like, what? So that was kind of cool. But honestly,
yeah.
I think the kicker and something that if I only watched, you know, the middle of the movie,
yeah.
If that was all the movie, I would still be just as hooked. Because
yeah.
the part where he is, like, I remember being a kid and, like, wanting to, like, be an adult.
Yes.
And so living in a house with nobody there,
yes.
and you get to, like, use your parents', you know, bathing products.
Yes.
You get to, like, go to the store and have money. You get to eat whatever you want. Like, I loved that
yes.
part of it. And then I also just loved the creativity of
mm-hmm.
fending off the
yep.
burglars. Like, it was just brilliant. Like, it's stuff
yep.
I still think about
yep.
with that. Just, I don't know what it does to me,
yeah.
but there's some sort of, like, excitement that comes from
totally.
Thinking of the guy stepping on the ornaments
yeah.
and remembering how sharp those ornaments used to be, or
yes.
the tarantula on
yep.
the face. Like,
yep.
all of these things are just so
yes.
memorable, and I just love that creativity and excitement
yes.
and you know, strength that Kevin was
mm-hmm.
able to show. And
mm-hmm.
it was, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think so
he
for
really,
all those reasons.
He really proved a lot of people wrong. I loved at the end
he
when, like,
wrong.
Buzz was like, you know, the way Buzz gives
exactly.
compliments, like, that's great that you didn't, like, burn down the house.
It was awesome. So he
yeah.
like earned his right in the family,
it.
Or earned
yeah.
his space. And I love the message of, like, just being in the church. I mean, that's just so
mm-hmm.
familiar to me of how I was raised
mm-hmm.
and having, you know, that kindness come through with older gentlemen
yes.
and how Kevin was healing to him too.
Yes.
And, like, all of, and because
yes.
that's another thing, being a kid, you know, sometimes we're, we pass judgment on
yep.
things or people that we
mm-hmm.
don't know a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And being a typical kid, that's what he did.
Yeah.
But then
well,
he was
it was
able
also
to,
the story
and
that
it was the story
was
he was
told,
right?
Yep. Yep.
And
by
so
Buzz.
To kind of let down some of that,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
judgment and
mm-hmm.
really get to know somebody and, like,
mm-hmm.
the healing that comes along with that.
Absolutely.
It just, even talking about it, I feel
know.
Like my heart is, like,
I'm
warming
gonna go watch
up.
It again.
I know. I just feel so warm with it.
I know. It is such a good movie and one of those that I think were a classic. I mean, if it came out in 90, I was, I'm like, I don't want to date myself, but I think I was in kindergarten. But I didn't watch it in kindergarten. I probably watched it a little bit older, but, you know, Kevin is timeless. Like, he will always be eight.
My kids love
yeah.
it. My kids
yeah.
love, they
yeah.
were laughing when
yeah.
we were watching
yeah.
it. They thought that the same thing, that it was creative.
Yep.
They thought the same thing about being home alone and being
mm-hmm.
a kid and how kind of exciting and
totally.
Exhilarating that is
because
totally. You never get to do it.
Yes. No, and same thing. Like, it was just so cool. I think, actually, we had in our house, we had the map. He, like, lays out of all the traps. We had that, like, as a toy, as, like, a kid.
Really?
So, like, the whole, like you said, I think it was, like, the creativity and,
yeah.
like, I don't know. It was just really cool being able to, like, fend off, you know, like, people trying to break into your house and him being like, this is my house.
Yep.
And so I love that. I mean, the humor is funny. But you're right. Like, the whole idea of, like, you know, being home alone and, like, what would you do with all of that? And it was also great seeing it also with, you know, kind of, you know, the lens of the podcast, because throughout the whole movie, you know, I was just thinking about, oh, man, all these people are just dismissing him and he has, like, no voice. And the only person that gave him a voice and, like, listened to him mm-hmm. was the next door neighbor old man who, you know, who everybody had this, like, really, you know, scary story about. Yeah. And so, and I thought that was so nice because, you know, I think, like we were saying, you know, kids kind of get this bad rap of, like, not knowing, or, you know, we know more than them, or why are they crying about that? Because, you know, it's not a big deal. And we have to remember, like, they've only been on this earth for, you know, 8 years, right. 5 years, 3 years. Like, they're still figuring out, you know. I know adults who haven't figured it out yet, you know. And so how can we put that, like, much pressure on kiddos to be, like, these perfect little beings? Like, it's, you know, it's you know, being a human is hard. Yeah. And they're figuring it out. But I love that he listened to and took his advice, you know, and actually taught this, the guy who had lived the most in this movie, something about life. And it was basic. It was like,
give him a call.
His thinking. Give him a call. And at least you won't wonder, you know. And sure, there's that, like, fear stuff. But, like, when it gets broken down, and sometimes, you know, kids do have that just, like, basic kind of way of thinking that you're like, huh, that actually does make sense. You're right. It might be scary in this moment to pick up the phone and tell my son, like, hey, I'm sorry, or hey, you know, come visit me for the holidays, but, you know, at least you'll know. And then luckily his son did come, and that was heartwarming. Always, every time I see that, I'm like, oh.
I do. I love the whole movie. And it does. It has a nice Christmas message, or a holiday maybe message, in that kindness is so important to people that maybe we thought differently about. And you never know what kind of impact you can have on somebody if you just kind of give them a chance.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly. So our last bullshit of the year.
Yeah.
It is, kids act out to make your life miserable.
Bullshit.
That's bullshit. kiddos don't just act out to make your life miserable. Again, like we were saying earlier, usually it's an unmet need. Yeah. Most of the time it's an unmet need. You know, sometimes there are other things that are going on, but remembering that, you know, it's usually not personal. Like, it's happening, you know, in front of you. It's not happening to you. Like, you know, it's something that... that, you know, with some creative thinking, you know, you'll maybe be able to figure out. But, you know, usually there's a reason to kiddos' behaviors.
Yes. And so, always a reason. Yeah. You know, and this is, even if it is, maybe there's a cognitive issue going on, or some sort of emotional issue or dietary issue, there's always a reason behind it. You know, something we talk a lot about on this podcast about, most recently we've been saying, you know, when your body has a response to something, if that, you know, if it's anxiety or fear or whatever the case may be, if your body's responding, if your body's sending you some sort of message, the same thing happens with kids.
Yep.
And because we are older and wiser, we can kind of help them try to figure out what that thing is.
Exactly.
You know, what is it that your body's responding to?
Exactly.
And then that's how you make some pretty, like you were saying, pretty resilient kiddos by paying attention to that stuff.
Exactly.
So they're not trying to make you miserable.
No.
And we share this with you because maybe you get some time off over the next couple of weeks, and maybe your kiddos are around, and maybe they're a little rambunctious or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
And remember, their routine is messed up because they're not going to school right now. Like, there's so much impacting their little bodies.
So much stimulation.
Exactly.
With all the activities and all the, you know, if you do gifts, that there's all of that excitement that goes on, and then all the sugar and the all the stuff that happens with that and the lack of sleep. So I think when your kid's acting out, we'd encourage you to maybe take a look at what other things could be going on here. Mm-hmm. Does my kid need some more attention? Mm-hmm. Do they maybe need some vegetables?
Yeah. Instead of cookies.
Do they need a nap?
Exactly. The basics.
The basics, right?
Exactly.
Just kind of pay attention. Or maybe, you know, I can speak for myself. I'm just being busy. Oh, I got to take care of this, and I got to wrap this present, and I got to go to this store, and I got all these things. Who's talking to my kids? Who's hanging out with them and giving them some attention? So remember that they're along for the ride, and they might need a little bit of love and attention.
Exactly. Exactly. And realizing, you know, your time is getting pulled in different directions because of, just the holidays. And so, yeah, of making some time for your kiddos, mm-hmm. and, you know, being intentional and making sure that their needs, you know, are being met as well. I'm sure they would really appreciate
they
it.
They do, man. It's huge. It's huge when you sit down, you talk with your kid, or you play with them for 5-10 minutes, just only with them, no phones, no nothing else distracting you. Mm-hmm. It is like sunshine to their heart. Like, it's just, it is the most beautiful thing you can give to a kiddo. Yep. So make some time for that. Exactly. Maybe watch Home Alone.
Yes.
Or Home Alone 2.
Yes.
Or Home Alone 3. Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other, I think Home Alone 3 might be a whole nother kid.
Yeah, it is. I was like, I stopped at 1, 2.
I think I've seen 2, but nobody can beat the classic.
Yeah,
I mean,
no one can beat the classic.
It is what it is.
Or if you do get Disney Plus, you can watch so many movies from your childhood to share with your kiddo and talk about them.
You need to watch, y'all. Your kids will love it. You'll love it.
Exactly. So on that note, like we said, this is our last podcast of the year.
We made it.
I know. And we will be back in 2020.
See you then.
Yes. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
Bye. If you enjoyed this episode of Bullships, please head over to your podcast player to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Disclaimer: the information and resources contained in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to assess, diagnose, or treat any medical and/or mental health condition. The use of this podcast does not imply nor establish any type of therapist-client relationship. Furthermore, the information obtained from this podcast should not be considered a substitute for a thorough medical and/or mental health evaluation by an appropriately credentialed and licensed professional.